some of the Bible's shortest books. And we've just heard a lot about 1 John, so now we're going to focus on 2 John. And 2 John can be summarized, and you'll hear echoes of 1 John, as a call to follow Jesus in truth and love as we build healthy, Jesus-centered community together. Now, there's something about a short letter that carries an intensity that a long book sometimes loses. So I don't know whether you remember all of what was in 1 John there, but 2 John is a fraction of the size of that. If you've ever received a postcard from a loved one, it might only have 3 sentences on it, but those 3 sentences mean the world. Or maybe you've received a text message that simply says, "We need to talk." And you know that those 4 words, brevity, doesn't mean a lack of weight. Sometimes the fewer the words, the sharper the edge. And this morning we're looking at what is essentially a postcard from the edge of the first century. It's the second letter of John. It's 13 verses long. You can probably read it in 90 seconds. And yet it contains a tension that's absolutely vital for us if we want to be a healthy, Jesus-centered community here at Junction 10. Now, as we saw in the video, there's a little bit of a question around who exactly is writing this. This letter comes from the elder, but it carries all of the language, the themes that we recognise in the Gospel of John and 1 John. And these, as we heard, are truth and love and abiding and walking. It doesn't necessarily and explicitly name John in the same way, but whether this is John the Apostle himself or someone writing within the same stream of teaching and authority, what we can say with confidence is this. This letter carries the voice of someone who has walked with Jesus for a long time and someone who is deeply invested in the health of the church. He's writing to what he calls the chosen lady and her children, as we heard on the video, likely a house church, a community, ordinary people trying to live this Jesus life, trying to follow Jesus together. And he uses beautiful family language. But he isn't just writing to say hello. He's writing because he can smell smoke. He's writing because he knows there's a fire starting that could potentially consume this little community. And although it's a very short letter, just 13 verses, it holds a tension that feels incredibly relevant for us today. Because at the heart of this letter is a question. How do we live as people who are deeply loving without losing the truth? And deeply rooted in truth without losing love. And this isn't just a first century issue for back then. This is our challenge if we're going to build a healthy, Jesus-centered community. And as we read this little letter together, I want us to listen not just for information, but for formation. For the heartbeat of a pastor who loves his people enough to tell them the hard truth. Because you know what? Truth isn't an abstract concept. It's a constant companion. So let's read the first few verses of 2 John together. Verse 1. The elder to the lady chosen by God and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth. Because of the truth, which lives in us and will be with us forever, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. So did you hear that? John begins with a word that he repeats 5 times in the first 4 verses, truth. And in our culture, truth has become a bit of an issue, hasn't it? You know, we live in a world of fake news, constant misinformation, where it's becoming exhausting even trying to work out what's actually real anymore. It's getting harder to know which voices to trust or who is actually telling the truth. And because it's so hard to find truth out there, society often just drifts into whatever feels right for you in the moment. And we see on social media and in the news, truth being used as a weapon, just to prove a point. And anyone who disagrees is simply written off or cancelled. But just look at how John describes the truth. He says it's something that lives in us and will be with us forever. He says he's overjoyed because he's found some of the community walking in the truth. And I love that phrase, walking in the truth. Truth isn't just a set of intellectual ideas or propositions that we agree with. It's not just something we hold in our heads or we say with our mouths. John is describing something much, much deeper. Truth is something we live in. It's something we walk in. It's something that abides in us and begins to shape the whole direction of our lives over time. This is the core of our spiritual formation. To walk in truth means that when you wake up in the morning, the reality of who Jesus is and what he has done is the gravity that holds your world together. It means that when you're at the tills in a supermarket, or when you're responding to that difficult email, or when you sit in the silence of your own grief, you are walking on the solid ground of what is real in God. And who is Jesus here? Jesus isn't the subject of truth. He is the truth in person. Jesus says, I am the way, and the life. He is the truth in person. He is the one who didn't just tell us how to live. He showed us what it looked like when God's reality is lived out in human skin. And maybe this is a nice place just to pause and we'll think about our week. And maybe just close your eyes if that helps you focus. And I'd invite you gently to look back on the last 7 days or so and think about your walk with Jesus this week. Just notice what's happened in your walk with Jesus this week. Are there times when Jesus has felt very real to you and that truth and love has been your heartbeat? Maybe moments where you felt yourself stepping off the path of truth, or you've maybe found yourselves in the weeds of anxiety or the mud of self-justification and pride. Where might the Holy Spirit be inviting you this morning? How is the Holy Spirit inviting you back onto the firm ground of who Jesus says you are? Phil. Lulu. Alison. Joy. Peace. Hazel. Joe. Jesus speaks your name and Jesus defines who you are. You can open your eyes now and let's move on to the next part of the letter. And the next part of the letter really tells us that love is the pulse, but obedience is the shape. Verse 5, and now, dear lady, I'm not writing to you a new command, but one we have heard from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. So John now shifts. He's talked about truth, and now he goes to his other favourite word, love. But he does a very unmodern thing here. He bridges between the two. He says, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. And sometimes we can think that love and obedience are at the opposite ends of the room. We think love might be spontaneous and warm and emotional and free, while obedience can feel rigid and duty-bound and cold. But in the economy of the kingdom, they are the same thing. And it's sometimes helpful to think about truth and love as a river. For a river to be a river and not a swamp, it needs banks. The banks provide the direction, but the water provides the life. If you've got banks with no water, you have a dry gully. And that's like religious legalism. But if you've got loads of water with no banks, you've basically got a flood that destroys everything in its path. A vague sentimental love that has no power to transform. So what John's saying is that the commands of Jesus, the old things they've heard from the beginning, are the banks. And God's love through his Spirit is the water. And at Junction 10, we've been asked to be a Jesus-centered family, a community with Jesus at the center. And that means we don't get to define love on our own terms. We don't get to say, well, the most loving thing to do is whatever makes everyone happy or comfortable. That's not what we've been asked to do. No, the most loving thing to do is to follow the Master and keep his commands. And who is the Master here? Who is Jesus? Jesus is the one who loved us so much, enough to die for us. But he also loved us enough to tell us the truth about our sin. He's the one who stood before the woman caught in adultery and offered her a love that shielded her and sheltered her from the stones, but then offered her a truth that called her to go and sin no more. And then that brings us on to the next part of the letter, starting at verse 7. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is a deceiver and an antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teachings of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. Now, this part of the letter can feel a little bit sharp to our modern ears. John starts talking about deceivers and the Antichrist, and he tells them not to welcome these people into their homes who are bringing a different teaching about who Jesus is. And it almost sounds mean, doesn't it? In our everyone's welcome, alpha-style culture, it feels like we're closing the door. But we're not closing the door to genuine seekers. That's not who John is asking us to close the door to. What we have to understand here is, in this context, in the early church, hospitality was how the gospel was spread. If you hosted a teacher, you were effectively saying, I endorse this. I'm a partner with this. And what John is saying, not to close the door to genuine seekers, but if you open the door to people who don't recognize and don't teach the real Jesus, if you lose the real Jesus, you lose everything. The people he warns against were saying that Jesus didn't really come in the flesh. Maybe that he was just a ghost or some sort of spiritual idea. But John knows this is massively important, because if Jesus wasn't fully human, then our humanity isn't really redeemed. If he didn't have a body, well, he didn't really die. And if he didn't really die, he doesn't understand your pain. And this is where we need discernment. Discernment isn't about being suspicious of everyone who walks through the door. We're a church that welcomes explorers. We love the questions that people come with. But John is talking about what we allow to shape our community. The ideas, the theology, and the doctrine that shapes us as a people. So there's a deeper kind of discernment here. It's the ability to sit in the Spirit and ask, does this lead me and my community closer to the Jesus of the Bible or to a Jesus made in someone else's own image? We live in a world of 1,000 voices. You've got podcasts, you've got influencers, you've got spiritual teachers all over your screens. We've even got American presidents being portrayed as Jesus in graphic images. Don't know whether you've seen that. Now, some of the teachers sound very convincing. They sound very loving. Some of them sound very professional. But if they're leading you away from the historical, crucified and risen Jesus, they are leading you into dangerous territory. And who is Jesus here? Jesus is the Christ come in the flesh. He is real. He is gritty. He is the one with scars on his hands and his feet. He's not a vibe. He's not a guru. He is the Lord. And that brings us to verse 12. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face that our joy may be complete. The children of your sister who is chosen by God send their greetings. And I love here how John ends. He's got so much more to say, but he doesn't want to write. He'd rather say it face to face. He knows that truth and love are best handled in person, not on a Facebook post, not on an Instagram message, but face to face. Truth and love are sacramental things. You can't fully walk in truth and love through a screen or a letter. You do it in the messy, beautiful, face-to-face community of a local church like this. And as I've said a few times, our mandate at Junction 10 is to build community with Jesus at the centre. And 2 John tells us exactly how to do that. We don't choose between being theologically correct and radically loving. We choose to be a people who are clear-minded about the truth and warm-hearted in our love. If we have the truth without love, we'll be a cold museum of doctrine. If we have the love without truth, we'll be a confused social club with no power. But what if we have both, truth and love? That's the stuff of the Bible that John Wimber talked about. That starts to happen. Healing flows. Prophecy is sharpened. The Spirit of God moves because we are hosting the real Jesus. So as we come into close, how do we apply this? And this is the bit where I'm going to slow down a bit. We don't want to rush this moment because this is where it comes all together. 2 John isn't just giving us some ideas to understand. It's shaping the kind of people that we are becoming. A people who walk in truth, a people who walk in love, a people who refuse to separate the truth. And the reality is that all of us will drift one way or the other. Some of us will lean towards truth. We want clarity. We want things to be right. We can spot when things are off quite quickly. But if we're not careful, we can become hard or guarded or a little closed. others of us lean more towards love. We want people to feel welcome, to be included, to feel safe. But if we're not careful, we can become unclear or we can avoid what's difficult. And the beautiful thing is the way of Jesus isn't one or the other, it's both. Jesus is full of grace and love and truth. So perhaps the question for each of us this morning is not simply, am I right or am I loving? But where might my walk have lost its balance? Where have I become strong on truth but thin on love? Or warm in love but unclear in truth? And what might it look like this week just to take one small step back into the way of Jesus? Now, if you're here today and you're on that exploring phase, you've not quite given your heart to Jesus, you're not quite there yet, maybe what struck you this morning is that Jesus isn't just an idea to consider amongst many other ideas. He's a person to walk with. He's not distant, he's not abstract, but he is present here now. And the invitation isn't to have everything figured out. We'll never do that. But it's simply to begin. To say, even quietly in your own soul, Jesus, if you are who you say you are and who I've heard today, I'm open. Show me how to walk with you. But for many of us here today, we're on the journey. We're trying to follow Jesus in the reality of everyday life, of work, of family, of pressure, of decisions. Maybe the invitation for us this week is to become more aware of our walk in truth and love. Maybe not just what we believe, but how we are living. Where truth needs to ground us again, where love needs to soften us again. Because spiritual formation and discipleship isn't just about holding to the right things. It's about becoming the kind of person who reflects Jesus, who looks like Jesus. And finally, for those who have been on the walk for many, many years with Jesus, your faith has depth, it has history, it has weight, and what you carry matters, probably more than you realize. But even here for us, the invitation isn't to settle, not to drift into familiarity, but to remain attentive, to keep our hearts soft, to keep our truth clear, to keep walking, not just knowing the way, but living it. Because this together is what builds healthy church. Not just good teaching, not just strong community, but a people who are rooted in the truth of Jesus and formed in the love of Jesus, learning day by day to walk in both truth and love. They're not rivals. They're 2 feet we use to walk with Jesus, truth and love, truth and love. And this week, as you go back into your homes and your workplaces and your communities, I pray that you wouldn't just remember the words, but that you would truly walk in them. May we be a people who keep our minds clear and our hearts wide open with Jesus always at the centre. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of our Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.